Cheers, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. It's good to have you here once again. We're back today with another no-go zone for you because, of course, it is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, my dudes. Does anybody know the reference for that? Should play some videos by It's Wednesday, my dudes. At some point, we'll play those videos. All right, guys. Henrik here, Red Ice TV. As I said, no-go zone. Today, we're actually going to dive into a no-go zone again, as we've done in past shows. And talk specifically about what's happening in France, of all places, because there is a virtual, well, some call it a war zone, some call it a brink of civil war, some call it just, was it lockdown frustrations, if you look at some of the headlines. So, you know, depends on how you define it. But we'll take a look at some of the stuff that's happening, that's coming out of there, because it is pretty nutty stuff, to be honest. Yeah, we have some other stuff we'll cover first. I guess we can just go over in case you missed it. Yesterday, I did a good show with Brian Young from High Impact Flicks. Actually, High Impact Vlogs is his main YouTube channel these days. But shout out to him. That was a good show. Check that out. Two parts. It's up on the members' website right now. Both parts. And we did play... I don't want to play this again here because we played it in the show. But in case you missed it there, I didn't hear it yet. So this is an open mic, like John Roberts from Fox News, right? Open mic on the White House press briefing facility, whatever you call it. Talking about it, the mortality rate. So I saw the Mark Collette linked it up again. Check this out.
What's up, baby?
All right, man.
What do you know, baby?
You can take out the mask, Doug. The case mortality rate's like 0.1 to 0.3, according to
you. Is it really? That's reassuring.
USC.
Everybody here has been vaccinated anyway.
USC and LA County Public Health came up with a study. They found that there are 7,000 cases in California, but they really believe that there are anywhere from 221,000 to 442,000 people who were infected.
Really?
Yeah.
So that makes it 0.1 to 0.3? Okay. There's a study to come out with? Or?
Yeah, just came up with that.
Hope you can hear that. I have headphones on, so I can hear it pretty well. But
so it was a hoax.
I don't think it was a hoax.
All right, folks.
Okay. Yeah, they cut it off. So that's Golden State Times. Actually, I wonder if it was them who caught it then. They had a camera there, and they had an open mic or something. Very interesting. They're like a pro-Trump channel and stuff like that. Maybe it was them. First, it was like, C-SPAN caught it, right? But hopefully you heard what they said there. Go back and turn up the volume if you didn't hear it before. So John Roberts, the Fox News guy who's telling the whoever the dude in the mask is, like, you could tell, like, take off the mask. Like, this is ridiculous. There's a case fatality rate of about 0.1 or something like that, right? So... just stop messing around. And he says, well, we're vaccinated. All of us are vaccinated anyway, he says. What do you mean? Against something that you guys have taken? Is that what he's referring to? Or is he talking about the flu shot? What is he talking about there? Who knows, right? But yes, as Mark says here, this is being done to justify laws that will take away your freedoms, right? So that's what this is about. Now speaking of... speaking of people benefiting from the virus, the coronavirus, Bill and Melinda Gates buy oceanfront home near San Diego for a miserly $43 million. How about them apples? The pair purchased the six-bedroom property in Del Mar, California. From Madeline Pickens, the former wife of Texas billionaire T-Bone Pickens. No idea who that is. Tech entrepreneur Bill Gates and his wife Melinda Gates have paid $43 million for an oceanfront home near San Diego, again, one of the largest deals recorded in the area. The Del Mar property was most recently on the market for $48. That has squeezed it down a few millions then. Not too shabby, huh? Maybe it's man-face Melinda that is the hard bargain there. I don't know. Who knows, right? According to a listing website, Realtor.com, the Gates bought the home from Madeline Pickens, blah, 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 went over there. Ms. Pickens said she wished the new owners well. We all wish the Gates family very, very well in these times. So no one says anything about that. Hey, I saw a couple of diamonds here coming on DLive. I do appreciate you guys supporting the program, supporting the show. Members, shout out to all you guys out there watching the show later on, of course, in the archives and stuff like that. We do have some good stuff here coming up, so stay with us because we're going to dive into some interesting things out of France. Silosopher sends a diamond. Thank you, sir. No message. Vultureman sends a diamond as well and says, Red Ice kicks ass. Well, we try to. Thank you, sir. Spencer the First, also diamond, says Jason. And Dr. Duke got censored midstream today. On YouTube? I would assume it was on YouTube, right? I got to try to check that out, see if I can find something about that as we watch some other videos and stuff like that. Interesting. Okay. I don't doubt it, obviously. We've seen some of these things, right? We played a clip yesterday. Maybe we should pull that up again. Let's see if we can find that again. Dear old Susan. I played it late last night. Let's listen to her again, right? Anything we don't like,
shut up. Talk about that is raising authoritative information. But then we also talk about removing information that is problematic. You know, of course, anything that is medically unsubstantiated, so people saying, like, take vitamin C, take turmeric, like, those are all will cure you. Those are the examples of things that would be a violation of our policy. Anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. And so remove is another really important part of our policy. Talk about that is raising.
Yep. So there you got it. All right. Well, interesting stuff. So I'm not surprised if Jason and Duke, David Duke, was censored midstream, because anything anything they don't like, they'll remove. You gotta get off of YouTube, folks. There's no future for anybody that has anything interesting to say on YouTube. That's just a fact. So thank you for that, Spencer the First. Didn't know that. I'll try to ask Jason regarding what or how exactly. Hey, shout out to White Rabbit Radio, Tim Murdoch hosting on his DLive channel here on DLive. Good to see you, Tim. Thank you for the host. Appreciate that. Thank you to everyone subbing as well. I should say Batnor donated a diamond. No message. Son of Anton, a diamond. No message. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Again, thank you to those subbing and for lemons and ice creams and all that stuff. We do appreciate it. Looks like Deep Live is somewhat back in action again today, folks. So that's good to see. Yesterday we had some issues. We did we streamed the show after it was recorded with Brian. And afterward, jumped on a little bit, and but lemons were coming in and out and disappearing for people, and they thought that they'd done some kind of a heist and took all your lemons. But they should be back. They're doing some back-end stuff on the back-end, so we'll see what happened. Techno Viking donated a diamond as well. No message. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. All right. Actually, a couple of quick stories here, too. So there's speculation that King Jong-un, is that how you pronounce his name? Kim Jong-un is either deceased or he's fallen very, very ill. Well, he has fallen ill. That's more or less confirmed. But some people speculate that he's actually died altogether. We don't know. Is it a coronavirus or something else? We don't know. Rumors swirling that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has fallen critically ill have sparked fears that his demise would destabilize the region and lead to a refugee crisis that would draw in the U.S., South Korea, and possibly other allies, according to a report. You know who would get all those refugees, obviously. Questions about, I mean, at the same time, I mean, South Korea is obviously doing very, very well, right? Is it not? I mean, it's the same demographic group. I forget when they were carved up into North and South. But if they got out of, I mean, just kind of the type of communism they had, they would reasonably do fairly well, I would assume, right? If they're the same stock as the South Koreans. But I don't know. Anyway. Questions about the reclusive dictator's health flared after he missed a April 15 commemoration of the 108th birthday of his grandfather, the Hermit Kingdom's founder, Kim II Sung. On Wednesday, North Korean state media published some past comments by Kim without mentioning his current whereabouts, while rival South Korea repeated that no unusual development had been detected in the North. Interesting, but even if the 36-year-old overweight despot isn't moribund, he does have health issues, and possibly end to his rule could create turmoil, experts told the Military Times. Interesting. Is this a video of him actually just riding a horse right here? Let's check this out. This could be fun. Nice. Good job, Kim. Space Kim. All right. Thank you, New York Post. Thank you for that beat there. I do appreciate that. Very good stuff. All right. A couple of more here came in. See, I don't miss them here. Let me back up here. Black Phillip sends a diamond and says, Susan has a history degree, got her job by nepotism. Well, she did. I mean, obviously, it was tied to her sister, who was married to one of the, Bryn? Was it Bryn? Zergy Bryn? I always forget the name of the other guy there. The other Russian, right? And they basically set up shop in, was it her, literally in her garage or something? And then it was like Mommy Susan got the YouTube gig, essentially. That was it, right? And she's still there on the throne today of YouTube. Unbelievable. So thank you, Black Phil. Appreciate that. Absolutely true. Dr. Silberman sends a diamond, no message. Pyrus777 sends a Ninjagini. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And he says, your Twitter video of the dude mirroring the cop in the parking lot was amazing. We'll play that. I have it here. It's absolutely hilarious. I agree with you. It's amazing. It's coming up. So stay tuned for some amazing stuff, folks. Jarn Saxa, 1418, sends a diamond and says, 1945 is when they decided it, if I believe. Weird. Oh, North Korea. Yeah, someone said North Korea is 67 years old, or what was the comment? I missed you in chat there, but something like that, I believe. So fairly recently, obviously. Divided. Yeah, okay. Jaren Saksa sends another diamond. It says divided. When they divided it, I believe. Yeah, weird. Okay. Yes, I believe you are right. I actually don't know much about the circumstances running that. It's very interesting. Fritz the Shits sends a diamond. Thank you for that. No message, but nor another diamond. And I don't think there is a message associated with that either. But thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right. Let's continue here in the flow. We have a lot of good stuff. And then we'll get to France here a bit later. I just thought we could play this too. Sarah Silverman and Patton. I forget what his first name is. He's a fat actor. He shows up in some stuff. Sometimes if you read, you learn things. How about that? Patton. They inserted a word in between. That's why I didn't read his last name. His name is Patton Oswalt, but they say here in the text, Patton, proud pedophile Oswalt, in a pedo skit. The skit begins with Sarah Silverman driving a black van with its windows blacked out. The interior of the van is a pedophile's dream. Let's play this here.
You're having a good time. Be sure to tell all your friends.
Hey, good van lady, can we pull over? I need to make pee-pee.
I'll just go in my mouth.
A really crazy question.
Yeah, shoot.
Do you ever have weird thoughts about children?
Jesus! Hey, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I would never look at a child that way.
Of course, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've been having these really strange.
Wait. Oh my God! Sign me up for that. Butterface. Ugh. All right, I gotta go.
It's the fans.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Just thought I'd leave that there to you. A little something. They think this is funny over there in Hollywood, eh? Good stuff. Sarah Silverman never, of course, disappoints. She's always on point, like when she's talking about crucifying Christ and, you know, some of those totally not offensive things to Christians, which, of course, is a euphemism they're attacking it because it's associated with white people as well, right? So these people love to poke fun at this stuff. I actually don't know what it is from, if it's a longer movie or something, but yeah, these people are very weird. Hey, I saw Thomas Schuster over on Periscope or Twitter just asking, what does it mean to donate a diamond on DLive? Well, it's basically just it's a super chat. So you can drop a message. I'll read your comment on the air. It's like, what is it? A diamond is, what is it worth again? A diamond? 10, 100 lemons. And one lemon is, what is it? 12 cents or 0.12 cents? I forget what it is, but it's a super chat. So it's a way to support us here on the show. Thomas. So thank you for that. All right, let me proceed here. Some of these quick stories. Before we get into France, of course, we have some stuff here. So in Jerusalem, Orthodox demonstrators are throwing rocks at cops in protests about the anti-corona measures. Several arrested in Mia Sharim. Check this out here. Trouble in paradise there, eh? Little issues in the ethnostate. I don't know quite what's going on here, but there has been some action regarding the corona virus outbreak in Israel for sure. So interesting stuff. This one's kind of funny from MSNBC. Never fail to surprise. Check this out. Whoops. It's a little windy there. Let's check that out one more. One more go here, guys. One, two. You know what? It's actually really good to see she's social distancing from those lights, because that could have gone really bad live on TV. I think they're a couple of feet beyond it there. So, yeah, fun stuff. MSNBC, you know. It's a shame. But yeah, luckily she was giving some distance. Hey, check out this. With something breaking here from the UK real quick. View inside the apartment in Kent, UK, as man shoots randomly at street below. So I don't know if this is because of the lockdown. Some people are completely, so to speak, Chinese English here now. Completely cuckoo by being forced to stay inside. What's going on? But this is in Chatham, dockside shooting. Check out some of this footage here coming out of the UK. Kent.
He's fucking aiming down here, man.
You don't know the guy's name, do you?
No. Top floor, apartment 95.
Apartment 95.
There we go. Just a normal part and parcel day in Kent. Here's another view here. Someone said, it's blanks. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Here's an inside view here. Jesus, loud. Hey, what's his name? Is that Ice-T? What is his name? Flexing Mike. All right. Very healthy. Very healthy instinct there, ladies and gentlemen. There is another one. Let me see. Was it this one here? A bit longer here. You can actually see what he's working with here. Armed man films from his balcony. Very alarming. Call the police, he says too. Is that because he wants to shoot police? I don't know. So check this out.
Tell him I said Tupac back, nigga.
Totally normal. Totally not crazy.
Call me the police. We're not a crazy. We're not a mad. We're not a crazy. I said, call police! Call police! They're crazy! Call the police! They're mad! Call the fucking police! They're crazy!
All right.
K-Para.
Good stuff. So yeah, there you go. Completely normal. No problem whatsoever, right? So that's welcome to the UK, to Kent. But yeah, someone said, aren't guns illegal in the UK? Well, exactly. Well, for white people, they're not finding guns like this, right? You have a huge non-Western, non-English population, and they can bring in boatloads of fun stuff to shoot everyone else with. It's a lot of fun. All right, Batnor, I think I did that one. Thank you, Batnor, for the diamond. Son of Anton again sends a diamond. Thank you. Actually, another one, and he says, I thought guns were... Yeah, okay, there you go. That's where I read it. He says, I thought guns were illegal in the UK. Well, you see, it doesn't matter, right? That's the point. It's irrelevant. You can still find it. You have the same situation in Sweden, of course, where you have massive amounts of hand grenade explosions. Some of these immigrant suburbs, they're getting the no-go zones. They're getting their hands on hand grenades. I will look at the fireworks issue that's happening in France. It begins with fireworks, of course, then it always escalates to something else. Doesn't mean you can't be hurt by fireworks. Sure, it's fireworks, but doesn't mean you can't be hurt. But this is good coming out of England, too. Because now we're coming into the real upside of being replaced and have multiculturalism. They can transform your culture completely. So BBC Radio is now broadcasting Islamic call to prayer for the first time. BBC Radio has adopted a novel approach to responding to the ongoing coronavirus lockdown measures, broadcasting the Azan, or the Islamic call to prayer. Every Friday at 5:50 a.m., which is the holy day for Muslims, the Azan is being recited at the start of its weekly Islamic Reflections program, according to a report by Global Village Space. Each week, a different imam will give the broadcast. 14 local BBC stations are currently hosting the program. The BBC recently decided to adapt this approach, given that mosques around the country have been temporarily closed as a coronavirus prevention measure and the Islamic holy month of Ramadan begins next week. It has never broadcast the Azan as part of its regular broadcasting previously. And then you see, you fall back on it, and then it's like, well, we'll just do that every day now, or every Friday, regularly, that's my point. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. Jay Paul on DLive gives a diamond as a give immigrants guns bigot. Well, exactly. I mean, they do have to defend themselves against white supremacy and these dangerous white people out there. Meanwhile, in the UK, of course, obviously, I do believe the gentleman shooting from the balcony there, I do believe he was arrested. I'm not going to pretend that he wasn't, but you'll not see major coverage of that. Imagine if there was a supposed white supremacist or some kind of right winger or something that had guns in the UK and just randomly shooting out the balcony. Do you think there would have been kind of some coverage on that? Maybe there would have been some media companies that picked that up. No, this is what's happening to white people. This is all white people have to do to get arrested. Posting stickers. We covered this in the Weekend Warrior show, but in case you missed it, right? Two men arrested for posting stickers that says, these is the 100-handers. I've never spoken to anyone from there. Maybe there's some that listen that's part of that or whatever. But seems like a good group of guys from what I've heard. Don't know too much about them, but it looks good. It sounded good. I heard an interview on Millennial Woes, I think it was, on the Millennial. So they sounded good. But pubs closed, borders open. So they've been arrested for those stickers. And Gerard Batten here says, we now live in a country where you can be arrested, charged, and possibly convicted, we'll see, for speaking the plain truth. Our pubs are closed and our borders are open, right? So it continues. Despite the corona lockdown and all this stuff, borders are open. There was a story just yesterday, a lot of the migrants coming from, actually from France, leaving France, going into the UK. That's still that avenue, I guess, for lack of a better term, is still open. A lot of people are coming that way. Yeah, so here you go. 100-handers, pubs closed, borders open. They were arrested for racial aggravation, I believe, actually. They had another one, too. It said, open border virus disorder. They were posted on lampposts, bins, bus stop signs, and bollards around the area of Sheffield. They're believed to have been the work of 100-handers group, described as far right by the BBC. The police said two men, aged 20 and 22. This is what you want to do. But guys putting up, essentially, well, it's stickers reflecting on reality. It is corona virus disorder. It's open borders, and it's virus. This should not be controversial. The reason why they're called a far-right white supremacist group is because they also have posted it's okay to be white posters, right? So 20 and 22 years old, that's definitely how you want to, like, open up your life. I'm not saying they're not doing something wrong, but I'm just saying the system is acting like these guys are criminals for posting a couple of stickers. And again, it's not because they put a sticker where you're not supposed to get put them. It's for racial aggravation and shit like this. They were held on suspicion of racial aggravated public order offenses and have now been released while investigations continue. Local council Miskell said the stickers were an affront to diversity. That's right. And I think Miskell was some kind of... well, he was some, I think, Jerusalem traveling... how can I put nice words to this here? Well, maybe I shouldn't. As they say, if you can't say anything nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. Isn't that what they say? So we'll just leave it at that. But someone posted a little bit about this Miskell character. They interviewed two different people, and both were like super high, you know, like, you know, white replacists, essentially, like activists kind of thing. Absolutely hilarious. Zach McCracken on DLive donates a diamond. Says, I'm sure they'll give them exceptions for Ramadan. Well, absolutely. We'll see what happens. That's going to be very interesting because, again, in France, we're seeing that kind of... Well, they're blaming it on the lockdown, that there's like frustrations and shit like that. We'll look at a bunch of videos regarding that. But we'll see what happens and how they deal with that, because I could imagine we'll see maybe riots as a consequence of that or something. We'll see what happens in the UK. I mean, in France, it's already happening. Check out this one, though. Coronavirus inspires dystopian new AI social distancing enforcement tool. There's a video here that's showing you, it's called Landing AI Social Distancing Detector. They're running a demo. Let me read actually a little bit here before we look at the video. An AI startup company has developed a video surveillance system that can tell if we're abiding by social distancing rules. It's the latest example of the pandemic inspiring what some might view as sinister technology. Might view. Thank you, RT. Might view it as sinister technology. As COVID-19 went on its inexorable gallop across the globe, it spread with the fear the government and corporations would use it as an excuse to encroach on the freedoms of citizens with new dystopian-sounding monitor methods. Californian software developer Landing AI has created a video tool that can be used to ascertain whether people are following social distancing rules. So you see, these guys are going to... You're going to have AI systems that are essentially... Matrix term, jacking in. they're tapping in. They're taking advantage of existing infrastructure of surveillance cameras that are already out there, like really broad, right? You have systems now that can build like 3D mapping, real time and stuff like that with multiple image frame sources and things like that too, including if you have like still frames or maybe 15 or 5 or 2 frames a second, stuff like that. But so we could imagine that there'll be tapping into those feeds of surveillance cameras to essentially alert and alarm and report, maybe, you know, and send officers to the place or drones to location to warn them off. Eventually, I'm sure there will be loudspeakers in some of these cameras and stuff like that too. In some, there already are. We know that. Landing AI has developed an AI-enabled social distancing detection tool that can detect if people are keeping safe distance from each other by analyzing real-time video streams from the camera, the company chirps in a blog post about the new software. Short clip here. Check it out. See, there's two violators right up there. When they're walking past, they're violating. See these two people here? They're in the middle. Yeah, there's a lot of arrests. A lot of money right here, too. A lot of fines, right? That's at least $20,000 right there. $1,000 per person who's in violation. Hmm? Good stuff. Let's play that again. Social distancing detector. It's amazing how fast these companies pop up. This must be the... Is it the UK? It was a California company, but I'm wondering where the video feed is from. I don't think it's California. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure, but... All right. Well, there you go. Good stuff. You know what we have to look forward to. But, you know, we're winning. We're winning, guys. Ham Sayosi sends a diamond on DLive. Thank you so much. And Angry White Soccer Mom sends a Ninjagini. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Thank you for the support. Now, we're coming up to some of these crazy videos here. We're going to get to that one that I forget who said it earlier. Maybe it's Pyrrhus777 about the mirroring the cop in the parking lot. We'll get to that one, too. That's kind of funny, too. But some of you might have seen this. Mother arrested in Meridian, Idaho, for letting kids play in the park. This has got out of control. Stop arresting America, free Americans for being outside with their families. We've shown that too. That actually one of the best way to fight against this supposed disease here that we're struggling with now, or illness or virus or whatever, if it hits the lungs primarily, pneumonia is one of the major symptoms of this virus. One of the best ways is to actually be out in sunlight and produce vitamin D naturally. It's one, you know, you get the whole spectrum, the whole complex, as they call it. D3 supplements are very good for you, but ultimately, being out in sunlight. White people have a easier ability to produce vitamin D through sunlight because we have less melanin in our skin. So it's essentially a more sensitive membrane or whatever you want to call it, right? This is, of course, one of the reasons why you have, as one reason, there's many, many reasons, but we've seen a disproportionate number of Africans, especially, of course, those who are located on the northern hemisphere or up north, like, for example, the Somali community in Sweden are way overrepresented in the cases because after a long winter, not being outside, not being in the sun, and first of all, having issues with producing vitamin D to begin with, they're going to be hit hard. It's not the only reason. There's other reasons. There's, you know, in the U.S., in Detroit, I think it was really bad, some of these areas, which of course is north enough. They have also, you know, pretty rough winter there. But there are other, you know, reasons for it too. If you have other underlying conditions, if it's diabetes or heart disease or, you know, any of these kinds of things. But the system is blaming racism. That's the only reason why this is happening is racism. It's not because of racial differences. It's not because some of these people are misplaced according to their biology, I'll put it that way. Their genetic makeup, right? They should be in very in warmer climates, first of all, but where there's a lot of sun, because if it's a lot of sun, it's, you know, then they can begin produce vitamin C. A long dark winter in the land of the midnight sun for a black African, it's actually very detrimental to their health. But you can't talk about that because that's problematic. Anyway, check out these moms here, Idaho, being bullied. But and think about it too. It's like, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, the police are, you know, that they're bad and they're harassing people and shit like that. Is that how you see this is being spun in the mainstream media? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They should be arrested, these people. They're not following orders, right?
Being arrested, this mother. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm looking for the video where the conversation is happening earlier too. This is, of course, the tail end of this here. But is it this one? I see YouTube is deleting accounts. Let's see if it's. It's this one. I think. Sorry, guys. Let me check this out here. Yeah, let me pull this in. Check this out. It's because the conversation before is like hilarious too. Well, hilarious, but it's like. Here we go. Check this out.
It's not a private park, it's a public park.
It is public, and we can close it, and we're closing it.
Okay, under what grounds?
I just told you. We can close it anytime.
I'm sorry, Dinger, you don't need to talk to me, Brute. I'm just a mom with my kids.
You guys gotta go.
Let's
go, get your kids.
So you're saying it's closed right here?
Get your kids.
I'm saying the playground is closed.
Okay, my kids.
So get your kids out to the playground.
Are you
going to
take us off?
I can
sign
all of you.
You're
going to
arrest us, or you just said you're arrested?
I said you can be silent or arrested. I'm trying to be nice here. loud so you guys can hear me.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
What's your name and your badge number?
Sergeant Fiscus 3094.
All right, it's coming here when they like get when they get into it. Okay, here, let me skip forward a little bit here. Kids are crying. You can't be outside playing now.
COVID scare, yeah. I guess all this tape, like on that statues on all this stuff, and I guess people tore it off. So I'm sorry. I wish you could stay and play.
I'm sorry. I wish you could stay.
Some angry kids. I get it.
I got it.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's really, really troubling here.
Okay, you guys have any questions?
Well, it's a public park, so I do wonder why it's being closed when it's a public park. I mean, we're not breaking a law.
The city closed it, and the city can close the park at any time.
Under what grounds? Under what grounds can they just come in and...
The city code says they can.
But we have to stop paying taxes, right? And we're paying taxes now. We don't get a refund on the parks we're paying for.
I am not the one to argue with. The one to argue with, if you don't like it, is the mayor. Or the parks director. I'm just a law enforcement officer, and I've been asked to come here and make sure everyone lives. So,
right, you're the line of enforcement on an order that, quite frankly, is unconstitutional.
Okay, that's something to take up with the mayor and the parks director.
But you're enforcing it right now.
Yeah.
That's your choice, right?
I could enforce it. I could charge people, but I don't want to do that.
Have you done that? Have you done that at
any
point?
Well, we know what happened.
Do you plan to if people decide to...
Ma'am, don't get mad at me.
I'm just out here frustrated.
So
don't be mad at us. We're just the moms who are paying taxes and frustrated with this whole thing.
I pay taxes too, and I'm frustrated with it as well. But you gotta leave the park.
Or what?
Well, the playground.
So we can be over there on the green grassy area.
Absolutely.
On the paths with scooters.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Whoever wants to talk, this is the parks guy. He can tell you exactly what you can and can't do. I will tell you, the playground is closed. We told you that. Okay?
Protect you guys.
From getting vitamin D and letting our kids play in the sunshine. I mean,
he's not wrong.
You haven't read that the virus stays on plastic for like 72 hours and stuff like that.
So it doesn't stay on plastic in Costco.
There's a lot of things that stays on plastic. Like maybe you should be more worried about phthalates, buddy, than you are this fucking fraud of a virus. 0.1. John Roberts from Fox News, he admitted it early on. Take off the mask. This is ridiculous. It's way blown out of proportion. Like, I'm not saying that these guys know that, but I'm just saying the way that things are turning now with the low death rates and everything, like, this is just massive overreach, ridiculous, pathetic nonsense.
Most places are open with social distancing.
Kind of a gotcha thing, isn't it?
We have rights.
Did you guys organize to do this?
No, we're just tired of this.
So all of you just showed up all
We time. Showed up no, here so we could let our sorry, kids play and have a play
tough,
date.
Man, it's the mayor's order.
Showed up and it doesn't look close to us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wonder what the risk to them would be if they just like they just let them play for what? I mean, how long are they? An hour, maybe 45 minutes, an hour more, or something, or even give them that. Like, all right, whatever. Like, you can stay for another 30, 40 minutes, whatever. And but then you know you pack up so that I don't have to do anything. Like, work with these people, do something, right? Yep, but it's about getting you to submit. It's about getting you to a point where you obey. However unreasonable or you know, whatever you can put up in opposition to what they're trying to shove down our throats, it's just what they say in at the end of 12 Monkeys, right? The big virus movie. It's not about the virus, it's about the control, right? It wasn't about the pandemic, it wasn't about this massive thing that killed off a bunch of people. It was how they could use it in the end to drive people like underground and in the conditions that they lived in that movie. And the Terry Gilliam that produced the movie is on point with that. We're not there yet, but we're close, right? We're getting there. These are the kinds of things where they can threaten these moms, they could put them in jail, they can whatever happens to her. We'll see. She decided, arrested, what, you know, we'll see. Fined probably, but we'll see. But it begins there, and then people don't take more risks. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, the cops show up and shit like that. It's amazing, huh?
Oops, juice. Okay, good, because that's a wild. Spilled bubbles all over my arm.
We're just going to record our right.
You know, I saw it when I got here. I did.
Then maybe you should stay away from us. Do you have the virus?
I'm trying to back off. Well, that's just the thing. And you see all these people, they're like, no mask. The same guy that that was handcuffed in front of his daughter in Colorado, right? Same thing there. You know, he said that they're breathing down my neck. They don't wear gloves. They don't. The rules don't apply to them. Amazing.
Ma'am, I have told you to exit numerous times. This is it. Exit the playground area now.
Yeah, Battlecat, you're right. I mean, the DLR chat, Battlecat says, another reason to cause trauma and distress to children. You know this will stress them out. You know that this will be immensely stressful and problematic. Well, I can't even play anymore. And you know what I mean? It's like all these things are compounding. They're adding up at the end of it. It's one thing after another, right? You can't be out in the sunlight. You're stressed. You're inside. You're feeling psychologically bad. That affects your immune system. You're more susceptible. I mean, all these things are connected. It's just a fact. It's a good point.
I just told you, exit the playground area.
But we're not trespassing. Are you going to not notify everyone for not social distancing?
Ma'am, it's not about if you can make a reasonable argument. It's about you need to obey. That's what it's about.
Okay, this is not... Officer, you don't want to do that. Officer, you don't...
You're being detained.
Am I being arrested or detained? Am I arrested or detained? Someone call Idaho Freedom Foundation right now and get them on the phone.
Call now. I'm recording. Someone else call. Okay, can you call? Her kids are here. Her kids are here. What is going to happen? Who's got her kids?
This makes no sense.
He is arresting her for being on a public playground. He is arresting her right now. Officer Fiscus.
As a person, does this make sense to you?
Officer, what is your name and badge number?
Ma'am, you gotta step away from me.
You gotta step away.
What is your name and badge number? He does not want to give his name or badge number. I asked him 3 times.
Yeah. There you go. Hope you enjoy that. that's where things are at right now, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, tomorrow will be something. Whatever these wackos come up with in the modeling and the predictions, like the, I mean, this is we talked about it in the second part with Brian Young from High Impact Flicks, right, over vlogs about Neil Ferguson, which is the main guy out of the Imperial College, which they're based, these initial models, it was 2.2 million dead in the US, 500,000, a half a million dead in the UK, if the social distancing measures were not taken into effect, right? Now, Sweden didn't do those things, and of course, there's a smaller population, but it's still a sample. You should reasonably be able to kind of compare those two. And it was not as bad as they say, right? So these models were shitty because Neil Ferguson is a shitty researcher. He's a shitty modeling guy. He's the one who the caused. I read it yesterday after the show. Let me see if I can find that again for you guys. If you guys missed that and didn't tune in live, because at the end part, what was the source for that? Was it Voltaire? Yeah, this is the one. Let's check this out here. So Neil Ferguson, right? He's the one who caused everyone to change direction. This is March 26th or something like that. There's a picture of him right here, Neil Ferguson, right? He's the high priest of the liberal hospital management and inventor of the generalized containment against COVID-19. He's from Imperial College, right? Professor Ferguson is with the European reference, the European reference for epidemic modeling. It was he who in 2001 convinced Prime Minister Tony Blair to have 6 million cattle slaughtered to stop the foot and mouth epidemic, a decision that cost £10 billion and is now considered an aberration. In 2002, and again, it was like that point, was that necessary? Probably not, judging from prior or later, modelings, which they reference as here. In 2002, he calculated that the mad cow disease would kill about 50,000 British people and another 150,000 when transmitted to sheep. There were actually 177. In 2005, he predicted the bird flu would kill 65,000 Britons. There were a total of 457. Regardless, he became an advisor to the World Bank and many governments, right? So this is what the US and the UK and many other countries based. This is the guy, essentially, that they based their modeling on. Total fraud, history of just ineptitude, incompetence, and shit like that. This is funny. This is one of the clips that Pyrrhus asked about, too. Dude asking random cop the same questions they ask citizens. let's just watch this. It's funny, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Detective Mike Jardine.
Oh, yeah? What are you working on? What are you working on?
It doesn't matter what I'm working on. I'm asking you, what are you doing here taking pictures?
Where have you been today? Have you been here all day? Or have you been out and about a little bit?
What is this about? Who are you?
I'm asking the questions. Where have you been today? No, have you been here?
I'm asking the questions. You're on this property.
No, I asked them first.
You're on this property, so you need to answer my questions.
Are you drunk? Why are you slurring your words today? Have you been to the bar today at all?
Who are you?
Have you been to the bar today?
Who are you?
I'm an investigator.
Investigator for who?
Investigative journalist at all.
Working on a fraud case. That's okay.
Okay. Have you been to the bar at all today?
No.
Okay. You got any drugs on you? Have you used any drugs today?
What a ridiculous question.
That's not a ridiculous question.
Deputy Henderson, this guy is?
Do you know where he's been today?
I don't keep that
low. Okay.
I'm about.
Do you know what time his shift started?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Does he usually drink on the job or? No?
No.
Not that anybody knows of for sure. Have you guys ever breathalyzed him while he's been on the job? Would you submit to a breathalyzer for me right now?
You're ridiculous. You know that?
Your name.
You've got about 5 minutes to get out of here right now.
Or what?
Or what? You're on
my property. Corporate.
This isn't your property.
Shut the hell up. Get out of here now.
What'd you say?
I said shut up and get out
of here. No, you get out of here now.
Hey, you better get your boy. Get your butt back in your office and do your job.
You shut up and get out.
You get your butt back in your office and do your job. You get your ass back in there. You don't look back here again. I'll be watching you. You are now under investigation.
Oh, man, that's funny. He walked away. It's funny. Sometimes it's all about attitude. I mean, he could fallen really ill for that guy, right? Probably, but it's funny. I mean, if you have cops that shows up and do what they did to that lady and stuff like that, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm sick and tired of these people just like, well, I'm just doing my job and I'm just obeying orders and, you know, I'm not going to take the fall for anything. I don't know. It's just amazing. It's very, very based, very red-pilled. I approve of that treatment. But I think the execution of something like that will have to be close to flawless in your confidence level when you do it. You cannot waver. If they notice weakness, you will be taken out. They will strike you, right? Anyway, speaking about ridiculous things and crazy accusations, here's the Jewish Daily Forward from a story here from I think it's yesterday. When President Trump uses the phrase, quote, invisible enemy, unquote, to describe the coronavirus, he's using the vocabulary of medieval libels against Jews. That's right. How Trump uses blood libel rhetoric against invisible enemy. Let me open that forward piece. That's just Gold. Absolute gold. Oh, it's a Kushner, too. Look at that. Avia Kushner. Interesting. When President Trump uses the phrase invisible enemy to describe the coronavirus, he's using the vocabulary of medieval libels against Jews. While it may seem like we were in 2020 and not in 1348. See, it's always 1348 or 1492 or something. You know, it's always 1933. It's always one of the... It's always one of the 109 times, right? This rhetoric about the invisible enemy had been heard loud and clear by protesters outside Columbus, Ohio, State House, blah, blah, blah. Talk about being, like, obsessed. Like, my shit. Like, they're not, he's not talking about you. He loves your community. He's doing everything for Israel. It doesn't matter to these people. All about you. All about you. Unbelievable, isn't it? All right, Stephanie Flew donates a diamond on Diablo. Authoritarian police are always good for freedom. Absolutely, always are. Fritz the Shits donates a diamond. Wear a mask on the way to hijab. Wear a mask on the way to hijab. That's fine. Thank you, Fritz. Red Eyes Fan. I see HP Lovecraft received a sub from Pyrrhus 7. Thank you so much for that. Red Eyes Fan donates a diamond. This is the new flu. There is a new flu viruses every 7 years. Why now? I don't know. Well, I'm just going to say it's random. There's other things behind it, but I don't know. They decided to work on this now. They decided to use... Okay, execute plan 201 or something, right? Let's order 66, and they press the button and they do it. I'm not sure. But they're pulling it off. Jay Paul donates a diamond. COP, Citizens on Patrol. COP, Citizens on Patrol. Thank you for that. Shroon donates a diamond and says, just heard Mossad has been cornering the market, the mask business. Yeah, I've heard about that too. And obviously we showed some videos where they had, Trump had sent like a bunch of masks somewhere. Mossad had taken them to either sell them on the black market or just keep them away altogether to get the infections to spread. Trump had sent an additional million to the IDF, I think, or something like that. One of the papers ended up changing the headline. It's absolutely crazy stuff. Hey, I saw a couple of donor box came in too. Let me do those real quick here. Earlier donation from James R. came in from, that's actually from yesterday. And he says, keep up the good fight. Your work is vitally important for our people. Truth and nature are on our side. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate your support, James. If you're watching, Tom S. donated a large donation. Thank you so much, sir. He says, noble work. Let's hope the Malkin interview and globalist failures with the Wuhan virus World Health Organization are turning points. Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate that. Thank you for your support. And Conrad K. sends a message as well on DonorBox. And he says, once again, my best wishes to you and the Red Eyes family, as well as my fellow members. Still spreading the word as best as I can. Thank you, Conrad. I appreciate that. That does help tremendously as well in these times of being censored and all the rest. And he says, sorry for my mangled attempt at Swedish last show, LOL. No worries, man. I was tired at the end, too, so I was actually screwing that up. Anyway, he says, surprisingly, Google Translate doesn't work like the rest of Bill Gates' product. I thought, is that Bill Gates' product? Maybe they built it off a Microsoft product. I thought it was Sergey Brin and almost said Lavrov. What's the other guy's name again? The other Russian, right? Anyway, thank you, Conrad. I appreciate that. Very kind of you. All right, let's... one more here from Truth Seeker 1. I see a diamond on DLive. No matter how much you do for them, not one of, I guess, of them. Well, the point is, it doesn't matter. Like in Trump's case, like it doesn't matter how much he bends over backwards and to please this community and doing everything that he has done, etc. They will always find some kind of weird way of like interpreting this, that it's some underhanded secret code. You have to go back to in 1382 they also used this term, and so that's what it, like, he's talking about a virus that you can't see with your, like, are you mentally deranged? Are you psychotic? Like, what's wrong with you? Unbelievable. Well, speaking about real things that are being actually harmed and destroyed, eggs are actually being destroyed. That's actually being targeted, unlike millions of humans. Farmer says his 61,000 chickens were euthanized as demand for eggs dropped during coronavirus pandemic. Also, one egg producer had destroyed about 1 million eggs. We reported previously on this program about milk being dumped. Governments are paying farmers to literally pour milk down the drain, let produce rot in the fields. They're not repackaging. They're not setting up new transportation lines and cutoff points and stuff like that, and or healing, cutoff points in the supply chain. Instead, the stimulus bill is paying $350 million towards refugees and immigrants, despite the fact that Trump at least temporarily claimed that he tried to stop it a little bit until, of course, another Kushner pushed back, Jared Kushner, and said, you know what, the plan, the white genocide plan must move forward, Mr. President, or Dad, whoever he calls him. We can't do that, okay? Hartzeller had a plan back in 1965, and that must move forward, right? So this is the real victim here. This is the real danger of this virus. It's the artificial dumping of food, artificial price hiking. Beef is being risen up. I actually came in contact with Ice Age Farmer over Twitter. And he's when he has some free time, he's going to come on the show. We're going to talk about that. He's been tracking and monitoring this for a long time now. Seems like a great guy. Came across his work about a month ago or something like that. Very, very, very good guy. So we'll bring you kind of a more in-depth report in terms of what actually is happening with the farm, on the farm end of things, because that's a real travesty and potential disaster of what comes later here too. And again, is it intentional? I don't know. If the government was concerned about this, they would of course help out with money so that these farmers can literally get food that could end up in the hands of the people that are literally lining up at food banks right now. And the food banks are running out of food, right? People can't afford to buy it. There are so many things the government could do if they were interested in solving the situation. But they don't, because that's not the goal. That's not the agenda. The agenda is to get you to crawl into the bug, take the pod, eat the bugs, and take the vaccine, and shut the hell up and obey and do whatever they tell you to do. That's the plan. The plan is not to give you temporarily relief from the coming food shortage and the price hike in food. So outbreaks have been reported at meat plants in 7 states. This is also one of the reasons why a lot of meat packaging plants and stuff like that are closing down. And I don't like some of these massive plants and stuff like that. It's could be argued, and I'm sure some will, that it's like, well, that's just good and it's unethical and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I prefer smaller, local, or organically produced meat and stuff like that. But not everybody can afford that. Not, this is what has happened. It's been consolidated into a couple of node points, specifically in the U.S. of these massive plants or whatever. But it means that at the end of the day, you're going to get less meat produced, you're going to get hiked prices on the meat that's there. Check out this report here.
Our reporter has traveled to the meat processing plant, one of the hotspots in this country, where more than 700 workers tested positive. That was in South Dakota. That state had no stay-at-home order. And we've learned tonight that plants have been shut down in more than a half dozen states now. This evening, the obvious health concern for the workers, and of course, the ripple effect now, all the way to the supermarket. Matt Gupman from South Dakota tonight.
Tonight, these assembly lines are turning out to be some of the biggest COVID hotspots in the country. There are now outbreaks at meat plants
owned by China
in 7
now,
states,
by the way,
including South Dakota and Iowa, which saw its largest single-day spike, most of it at meatpacking plants. But so far, the governor refusing to shut them down.
And without them,
and keep in mind, too, a lot of the Ann Corcoran of Refugee Resettlement Watch, she was monitoring this, too. A lot of the meatpacking plants are bringing in refugees, illegals and stuff like that to get the price, wages down essentially and dumped right at the same time. So you could argue like, well, this is like, karma or whatever. But again, at the end of the day, it's the average people that will suffer. I mean, Bill Gates is not going to suffer from this. Jeff Bezos is not going to suffer from this. International banking cartels are not going to suffer from this.
people's lives and our food supply will be impacted. We must do our part to keep them open in a safe and responsible way.
Here in Sioux Falls, where the governor has not issued stay-at-home orders, the nation's single biggest hotspot.
And within just a couple of weeks, the number of people testing positive at this plant went from a handful to over 700.
An activist fear infection could be far more widespread.
We're starting to get reports now of family members and
let me take away the lower third here, boys, so you can see this. At least her name is Islam. I mean, they're not, at least they're upfront about it. Taniza Islam, the executive director at South Dakota Voices for Peace. Okay, well, anyway, let's keep listening.
Secondary and tertiary contacted people of Smithfield employees that are testing positive. The ripple effect into the community is severe.
And with the outbreak surging in the Midwest, doctors here warning no place is immune.
There's no part rural America, urban America that it's not going to affect. It's just part of who we are now.
And David, for those concerned, the CDC says there is no evidence that the virus can be transmitted through food or that it can live on packages for very long. And employees who say they might have to go back to work here in the next couple of days at this plant or plants across the Midwest tell us they're concerned of additional outbreaks, that they could be infected by fellow employees who are asymptomatic.
Fellow employees. David.
All right, Matt Gutman tonight.
Matt Gutman. So Smithfield, by the way, I learned that there was it's another dude. I think he's kind of tangentially doing somewhat like the Ice Age Farmer does. I think his name was Zombie Farmer on YouTube. Smithfield have been bought by China. A lot of the pork production have actually moved to China. This is what they do, right? This is World Trade Organization. It's just like, you know, conglomerates that go together. They buy up whole sections and industries and the layoff. You know, it's not enough that they bring in refugees, illegal migrants, and dump the wages in the U.S. at these meatpacking plants and shit like that. They have to outsource the whole damn thing to China. Unbelievable. So yes, in a way, it is karma. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, you know that it will be the average consumer at the end that will suffer from that, right? I saw that Shroon sends a diamond on D-Live and says, prep now, brothers. Absolutely. We have no idea. I've told you before. Yeah, never buy Smithfield. That's right, Straw Pilot. Buy seeds. Buy them online. Start now. Look into ways of becoming much more self-sufficient and self-sustaining and stuff like that. And you won't do it overnight. None of us will. We have a long way to go. Many of us, some of you are much more prepared than other people. But it's never too late. Never too late to stop. Absolutely agree. True. Good point. Quick note, you know about this now, but Jeff Bezos gains $24 billion while the world's rich reap bailout rewards. Bloomberg report on this here. The world's richest person is getting richer, even in a pandemic, and perhaps because of it. With consumers stuck at home, they're relying on Jeff Bezos' Amazon.com Incorporated more than ever. The retailer's stock climbed 5.3% to a record Tuesday, lifting the founder's net worth to $135.5 billion United States dollars. Pretty amazing stuff. People continue to buy at these things, right? I mean, their logo, Amazon logo, is from A to Z. Have you seen them? It's a smiley face, you know, whatever. But some people say it looks like a penis. The arrow it goes up, a semi-erect penis. But it's pointing for. It says from A to Z, Amazon. The whole range will cover everything, right? It's in the logo. The logo is the motivation, right, of what they want to try to achieve. They'll cover everything. It will be. Did you guys see WALL-E? I've been watching it with my oldest. It's actually a very good movie. It's essentially like these dumbasses. They destroy the world and you know, consumerism and stuff like that. They go up in space. But there's this massive company called By and Large, BNL. It's like on everything, right? Called the Starliner or the, you know, the everything on there. It almost feels like there's an overlap with Idiocracy in kind of in the design and in how it looks and stuff. And in Idiocracy, they have that like the great garbage avalanche of, 2250 or whatever the hell it was. I forget what it is. Kind of looks like that a little bit. This little robot is cleaning up stuff. It's actually pretty cute. Check it out if you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's more true now than ever. All the humans are like, I don't want to spoil it. Check it out if you can. WALL-E. Actually, a very good movie. Jeff Bezos is the planet's richest man, and COVID-19 is making him even wealthier. But he's also the world's most selfish man. Wow, what a coincidence. Who knew that those two stayed together? And I'm not saying, I don't subscribe to this other thing just because you have money or something, you're automatically an evil person. But these people that have like mega bucks, right? Just like corner every market, control everything. These are ruthless, psychopathic sociopaths, right? He's kindly giving 0.1 of it to some food banks. Yeah, exactly. He could do tremendous amount more, but they're benefiting from it. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to get to France here just in a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading in that direction, gone a little bit over time here, but I've had a good time going through some of these stories with you guys. So we'll get to France here in just a bit. Dr. Silberman sends a Ninja Genie on DLive and says, thanks for the stream last night. I clap for you now, Henrik. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. A reference to you clap for me now, I would assume, the NHS stuff that they had going on. However, if you did have any worries, but thank you, Dr. Silberman. I really appreciate your support. If you had any concerns about this thing about like bathing in frequencies to begin with, I know that some of you probably don't subscribe to that. Some of you are like, yeah, whatever, it's fine kind of thing. We can have microwaves around us at all times and just bathe in these frequencies. It's not going to affect us. Not going to be any negative side effect to it. Some people will be concerned, I think, right, justifiedly so. So Elon Musk is currently working on his project to send up about 40,000 satellites. Now, he's, of course, in the position where he can actually send up his own satellites. Obviously, he's expanding on businesses, right? He was behind PayPal initially, sold that off. That became a rotten, disgusting, sickening corporation, which discriminates against people and have no liability whatsoever, stuff like that. But this guy can, you know, he's built on this all the time. But then it was like, you know, Tesla, and then he builds more money with that. He creates SpaceX. Now he's outsourcing shuttles to like NASA and stuff like that. And so, you know, he's created this empire for himself. Now this next step in the process of utilizing what he's built up previously, the SpaceX thing, is to send up satellites, more and more all the time, 40,000, in fact, satellites. In order to blanket coverage of 5G, or they just say broadband internet connection, but what they mean is 5G. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk is accused of interfering with the work of astronomers and stargazers, but we're powerless to stop him sending more space junk into orbit and making him more money. Oops, sorry, for the good of humanity. After years of suffering humiliating wedgies, having their heads flushed in toilets and being mocked for unseemly diligence to their studies. When the nerds exact their revenge, it seems the whole of humanity must pay the toll. Interesting angle to take here on RT. And so this week we have witnessed the extraordinary spectacle of the launch procession of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites, shooting upwards one after the other, after the other, after the other, ad infinitum, as he sends his latest load of money spinners into the heavens from where, in his phase, they will provide unobstructed broadband services to previously unreachable places like the northern USA and Canada. Talking about sub-Saharan Africa, like all over. Parts of Asia, the jungle, you know, remote islands. Like there will be no zone where you will be able to escape, right? What's the goal? Well, the goal is Internet of Things. The goal is to have every single device have microchips in it, being a smart device, connected, spy, track, communicate with other devices, all this kind of stuff, right? The Internet of Things. It's going to be a matrix, essentially, right? Where everything can measure and listen and feel and report back to AI systems and stuff like that. But a linchpin in that image, or in that vision for the world, you will need to have an ability for all these devices to have constant communication. You can't have things out of reach, because then you lose intelligence, you lose sensitivity, connection with other things. And so the blank spots means you could go to an area and you can be outside of coverage, and it was like, oh, somewhere to escape at least, right? So they go on to say here, I can't be alone in expressing surprise, but these regions don't already have broadband. But hey-ho, I'm no aeronautical scientist, and SpaceX assures that its global coverage should be in suite or situ, I guess it is. I actually don't know the word situ. Next year. Starlink. I actually haven't checked this out. Let's just check this real quick here, guys. Starlink. Maybe they have a little promo video or something, right? SpaceX is leveraging its experience in building rockets and spacecraft to deploy the world's most advanced broadband internet system, 5G, worldwide coverage, high-speed internet across the globe, with performance that far surpasses that of traditional satellite internet and a global network unbound by ground infrastructure limitations. Starlink will deliver high-speed broadband internet to locations where access has been unreliable, expensive, or completely unavailable. Like, that's a bad thing, right? This is talk about a prison planet, right? We'll have this grid of like absolute coverage. Looking for a word, and I can't find it. Starlink is targeting services in the northern U.S. and Canada in 2020, rapidly expanding to near global coverage of the populated world by 2021. I mean, that's fast, right? That's very, very fast. Keeping space clean. Yeah, that's what you do with 40,000. I mean, it's already like really polluted and really bad, right? But an additional 40,000? Less mass, more compact, blah, blah, blah. How are they exactly? Each satellite weighs approximately 260 kilograms. What is that? That's like 600 pounds. And features a compact flat panel design that minimizes volume, allowing for dense launch stack to take full advantage of the launch capabilities of SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Antennas with four powerful phased array. This is like old school kind of conspiracy stuff right here, right? Of like, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, familiar, or listened to our show back in the day, or keeping up with other people talking about it, but like HARP and, you know, having frequencies and Project Bluebeam, you could have, microwave gigahertz frequencies in the atmosphere, you could supercharge things, you could do, you know, you could produce images on the atmosphere, and these were some of the things that were going around that people talked about, but something like this didn't exist. They were just, HARP was just like, you know, superheating the ionosphere, the upper parts of the atmosphere and stuff like that. You're doing tests, right? What exactly is the frequency here? What are they sending out? How strong is that going to be? Are we talking 5G? Is it 60 gigahertz? What is it? We don't even know. An enormous amount of throughput can be placed and redirected in a short time for an order of magnitude lower cost. Yeah, but you get Wi-Fi everywhere, wherever you are. It's great. Singular solar array, yes, it's solar-powered ion propulsion system, I guess, for the satellites itself. So it maintains its complete shape, I guess, in relativity to each other. Was that the last one? No, one more here. Star Tracker. Custom built-in house navigation sensors tell each satellite its altitude, which helps enable precision placement of broadband throughput. Autonomous collision avoidance. Yeah, so they're doing a lot of shit here. So yeah, I don't know if there's a promo video or not for that. That's pretty interesting. This is Skynet, guys. You remember Terminator? They're building Skynet right now. Unbelievable. Let me do a couple of your super chats here. Big Black Man with AIDS. Appreciate your support, sir. The one with the funniest name around, at least for now. Maybe someone will top you one day, but... he says, white pride worldwide, exclamation park, make more white babies. Yeah, do make more white babies, folks. It's a very good idea. Thank you, a big black man with AIDS. I appreciate it. Shroon sends another diamond. Left behind the book, The Cell Soul Net. Not sure I follow that, Shroon. Left behind book, The Cell Soul Net. Talking about Amazon, maybe. I'm sorry if I don't fall. I know there's a limitation in character. Sorry about that, Shroon. Not sure what that is in reference to. Maybe it was a while ago something I talked about. Anyway, thank you, Shroon. Spencer the First, a sense of diamond, just saying Musk is the richest African ever. LOL. That's probably true. Spencer the First, another diamond. When is Jason coming back on? Hail brother. Well, soon I hope. He's always welcome. Obviously, we love to have Jason on. So anytime. Spencer the First, sense of diamond. This one is for Lana and Guthrick, Queen and Prince. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for your support. And RoboThink sent a diamond as well coming in here. I don't believe there is a message associated with that. And another one from Psilosopher as well. All right, let's play this real quick. DJI, I actually had a DJI drone for a little bit. I shot some pretty good footage of some of the old sites in Sweden with this drone. This is some of the footage that was lost in the hack when the whoever, the intelligence services or Antifa or them in cooperation, whoever it was that actually hacked into our local network and tried to erase our local file servers with all our backups and stuff like this. This happened back in 2017, if you're a new listener. We had all our websites terminated, shut down. They replaced things. They hacked our Twitters, everything at once. Massive organization. It all happens actually on the same day as Charlottesville. They did not want us there to be able to... we were there as media to cover it. I was there as media to cover it, to live broadcast the speeches there. And we had a lot of footage that was lost. Not everything. We actually managed to unplug the cord before it actually happened, but they wanted us dead in the water. They've been attempting to shut us down many, many times. But we're still here, folks, to bring you this horrible information. but the good news that it's okay to be white and we can organize and fight back against these genocidal maniacs that are trying to replace us and trying to screw us over. Anyway, make a long, long story short, DJI had a drone and I filmed a lot of these locations, old sites in Sweden, working on a documentary about the significance of the Gothic connection, the old Gothic connection before they emigrated further down to southern parts of Europe and their relativity to where they kind of was, how important that region was. That's the way to cut it. So I lost actually a majority of that footage, but they run some deletion script or something on the file servers. And so those were some of the material that we lost and we didn't get back. But one of the things was I was always thinking about DJI. Are they sending back data? Are they offering these super cheap drone devices, in a way that hasn't really been done before? Now there's other competitors, but DJI is still one of the major drone producers on the market, right? And many people have said, like Huawei and some of these companies, that they have backends into the technology that they offer. Does it store it somehow? And then when it's connected to Wi-Fi, it sends it back to spy? Or who knows, right? These are speculations. But one girl here, Elizabeth Harrington, reporting on this, saying, the drones donated by DJI, a Chinese company, have gone to 43 agencies in 22 states, all to help enforce social distancing rules. Again, she had interfaces now with 5G, the Internet of Things, the Starlink things that we're talking about. AI systems are monitoring social distance. They're tracing systems to help protect us from corona. Like, they're building this system now. It's like it's happening before our eyes. Is China tapping into it? Very possible. It's probably globalists at the end anyway, so it doesn't matter. This is beyond national interest. But, I wouldn't put it behind the Chi-Coms to try to do something like this. Check out this clipper because they talk about this.
Mayors need to be creative. We have to figure out a way to get to people that police cars can't get to.
Elizabeth City Police shot this video for us to show us how drones work. The drones make it easier for police to see into certain areas where access by patrol cars is more difficult.
That includes tight spaces between buildings, behind schools, and in backyards. Failure to comply could lead to a summons or a $1,000 fine.
You think the drones watching over people is a good idea or a bad idea?
I think at this point, it's worth a try.
It's just an invasion of your privacy.
The mayor's heard it all.
My answer to those people are, if these drones save one life, it is clearly worth the activity and the information that the drones are sending.
The drones
That's right.
donated by
Screw your rights. Your rights end where someone else's safety begins. Right? This is literally as Brian Young said. It's like you if you're selling out your freedom for the sake of security, you deserve neither, and that stands true.
JI, a Chinese company, have gone to 43 agencies in 22 states, all to help enforce social distancing rules.
You should not be congregating in groups.
Authorities say the drones aren't taking pictures or collecting evidence.
Sure.
It's a high-tech warning against a deadly virus.
One of the things Eamon, the authorities here say, is that they expect as the weather gets warmer, more people will be outside and there's a tendency...
I mean, this, look at this here. I mean, with the mask on too. I mean, this is just she's far away from the cameraman, obviously. These people are in social distancing from their lights, as we saw earlier in the clip there. But she does not have to stand with this mask there. This is just absolute pathetic and ridiculous. But it's about to get you to submit to. I know this is not the issue with the report here, but I couldn't help myself. Goddamn, take off your mask and stop mumbling.
See the group together, and they think the drones will be even more effective, or at least they hope so, again, as the weather gets warmer. And they hope that as people see something, they'll say something.
They'll say something. That's right. If you see something, you say something. But the snitches? Well, now snitches get rewards, right? That's what it's all about. All right, you get the idea. Pretty creepy stuff. So who's have control of all this technology? We're seeing different nationalities, different genders maybe, but it's at the back end of all of this, you'll have a international, nationless clique of people that will control this technology. They will build a Skynet. They will build robots to keep us in check. And this is, you know, this sounds sci-fi, but this is what they want. They want Terminators patrolling us and making sure that we obey, right? And then they will take us into the pod underground, and we'll all eat the bugs. So we're actually running a bit late here. I wanted to get to this story a little bit quicker. We do have quite a bit of footage to show regarding what's happening in France. Quick couple of headlines, then we'll get to some of the video reports about this too, of what actually has been happening in France. Lockdown frustrations may explode into violence, French police fear. The Times reporting on this. The leader of France's largest police union fears the country could explode in violence after a third night of riots on the outskirts of Paris, where a heavy police presence to enforce a lockdown has exacerbated tensions. In Villeneuve-les-Grenes, I think you pronounce it, youths... euphemisms. Youths aimed volleys of fireworks down streets lined with housing blocks towards police lines. The riots first flared on Saturday after a motorcyclist crashed into the open door of a police car. There's a little bit to that story of what happened. Now, I don't know all the details. I just saw that some people were talking about how this was bullshit. It was flared up. There was like the cops were getting blamed and stuff like that. Have a little bit of footage of after he was crashed, the guy, whatever actually happened before, we don't know. But Yves Lefebvre, the head of the SGP unit police union, said that he feared violence akin to that of 2005 when riots gripped the nation for 3 weeks after the death of two youths fleeing police near Paris. Yeah, didn't do nothing. Police clash with residents in low income. Don't you like how they use all these? They just can't say no-go zone. They just can't say immigrant neighborhoods, immigrant suburbs, immigrant areas, because that's what they are. That's the truth. Call a spade a spade. It's okay. It's reality, folks. If it's not lies, it's the truth. You know, it's the truth. Don't lie. That's what I'm saying. Low income. What are you talking about? There's other low income areas, and they haven't exploded in violence in this way. So police clash with residents in low-income Paris suburbs amid the lockdown. Here's some of the... we'll take a look at a couple of videos here, too, in a little bit. Can't you do all of them? Yeah, okay. Yes, we have some videos about this. Sorry, let me click away here. The Guardian, disruption on streets of France as lockdown tensions rise. Motorbike rider who clashed with the police Saturday calls for calm as vandalism erupts in suburbs. Yes, yeah, the Guardian observes, like, you know what? It's just the police fault. It's not the police fault when they go and, I know it's two different countries, but, you know, again, difference in reactions, right? When they go and arrest people on a playground for playing with their kids, then the cops are good, no problem. In other regards, they're going after people who are actually committing crime or gang leaders or people that have committed crimes against, let's say, native French people or something like that. Then police are bad, right? Police and residents clash over heavy-handed lockdown enforcement in Paris suburbs. Police fought running battles in at least five suburbs of Paris overnight with residents who accused officers of using heavy-handed tactics to enforce France's strict coronavirus lockdown. Now, again, you don't see these kinds of massive protests and stuff. Did you see how, again, I know there's two different countries, but did you see how specifically Twitter, but also the major media companies picked it up, CNN, MSNBC and stuff, how white people showed up and they were protesting, right? And they had got weapons with them and stuff like that. Nothing happened. No one did anything. They were exercising their Second Amendment and their First Amendment, freedom to assemble and all this kind of stuff. But it was like this fear, you know, these people are dangerous. These are right-wing white supremacists. These are dangerous kind of people and stuff like that. In these areas, when we begin to see violence, you don't see that coverage at all. Now it's the cops' fault, right? So anyway, let's take a look at some footage here to see. Oh, no, this is the, right, that's right. This is the aftermath or after this person with his motorcycle had crashed, allegedly, into a police car. Did he open the door? What happened? I'm not sure. The whole story might be out there. I haven't been able to track it down yet. I'm thinking of bringing on some people from France to kind of explain the backstory to us a little bit more. But this is afterwards, once he has hit and he's being treated by either police or ambulance personnel.
Ah, oh, sa mère la pute. Bande de bâtards. Ouah, bande de bâtards.
Ah, vous
enlevez
des jambes comme ça, les gars.
Voilà, c'est
comme ça.
Ah, sa mère, la pute.
Wesh, il a plus de jambes. Ouais, là, ils ont coupé la jambe.
Ah, les gars, vous abusez.
Vous avez appelé les pompiers ?
Eh ouais, appelez.
Sur la vie de ma mère, c'est une dinguerie. Bavure policière, bavure.
All right, so that's what happened. Excuse me. Close that. So that's what happened after. Now we're not quite sure exactly what happened before that. It was leading up to it, but it's kind of akin to what we've seen when there's been, charges against like police in the U.S. I would imagine. Again, I don't know. So I'm not going to go out and limit it and guess, but you could guess what the reasons was or that he was doing something essentially, and the cops for some reason they tried to stop him and they opened the door when he came with his motorcycle. I don't think it just out of the blue happened. Probably not. Most likely not. At the same time, yes, we have seen the crazy treatment of cops during the Yellow Vest protest, right? But again, at the same time, that you haven't seen massive what we'll take a look at here, those kinds of riots in the wake of that, right? With the fireworks and that kind of stuff and targeting, you know, of police and stuff. You've seen it's brutality that falls into like two different categories, right? And there's one treatment for the native French, who are the primary Yellow Vest protesters. And then there's another kind of more passive stance against the migrant gangs. They're essentially they're doing this kind of rioting, right? Migrant areas of Paris hit with third consecutive night of riots. I think it's actually up to the four consecutive night right now. Migrant areas of Paris were hit with a third consecutive night of rioting following an accident in which a motorcyclist was seriously injured after a confrontation with police. Again, what did he do? What was the reason? What was this confrontation about, right? One of the clips shows firefighters trying to tackle a blaze after numerous vehicles were set on fire. So it's kind of the same stuff we've seen in Sweden in these suburbs and stuff like that. So here's some of the footage. Let's dive into this and see what has happened here.
Paris has seen a second night of rioting over the cause French police have been too heavy-handed in the treatment of ethnic minorities during the coronavirus lockdown. Anger erupted in the French capital on Sunday night and continues on over alleged racist police attacks. Fireworks explode in the streets and fires rage while armed police tried to disperse groups of protesters congregating in Villeneuve-le-Garenne. In response, police used tear gas and baton charges in the northern Paris suburb.
You're not you're not seeing the same kind of response against these people that you've seen with the yellow vest, right? The people that are protesting there. And you've also not seen the reactions, the level of violence that we see here against cops and stuff. And there's other people being squeezed out. We'll take a look at some of the footage later. Or like ending up in between these gangs that are roaming and stuff like that, these migrant gangs. They beat up people, you know, anybody they see. There's people that are being, you know, accosted and attacked and stuff like that. Here's some more heroes. And it's always like, well, it's just fireworks. It's fine or whatever. But it's like, it's also what it represents. And you can bet your ass that like, this will be real weapons too. In some cases it already is, as we've seen, of course, in France has been vastly hit by, you know, terrorism and stuff like that. But, you know, it starts with fireworks, lighting things on fire, blah, blah, blah. Then it goes real. As the demographics transform in France, as you get more immigrants, more people from Arab countries, Northern African countries, Sub-Saharan African countries, as the white native French population are being ethnically replaced, do you think these kinds of things will diminish or will they increase? Right, France is seen as a colonialist power. A lot of these people are in France to for revenge purposes, essentially. There are people that are aware of that issue. They want to destabilize. They want to create problems. And of course, the French government, they play ball, right? They agree with this. Macron is happy about the new close relationship between Africa and Europe, right? He's talked in those terms. So it's just like we've seen in Sweden and some of those areas too, right? Where you have, of course, cars lit on fire and stuff like that. But yeah, it's young Swedish boys and girls that are taking the brunt end of this ethnic replacement experiment that's going on in our countries. They're the ones that are being targeted and stuff like that. We'll see some pretty gruesome footage a bit later here. And if you're sensitive to some of that, we should not watch it. Just a person being brutally attacked. He's on a scooter. Presumably he's a French, an ethnic French person who's being attacked by some of these gangs, right? Okay, there's some footage from Rupley right there. Let's continue here and look at some more here. Now, this is Marie Le Pen. Marine Le Pen retweeting some of these things. It's a little bit of a compilation of some of the areas where this has been going on. Primarily, it's in Paris suburbs, but I've heard that it's in other parts of France as well.
Paniquez vos mères, les pompiers, là!
Time to be enriched.
Les pompiers, niquez vos grand-mères!
See the cops there, they're being surrounded and attacked with fireworks, but other things as well. It's almost like these people that flee from like war zones and stuff like that, which they say, right? It's almost like they bring those conditions with them. That if there isn't, disturbance is a very kind word to use here, but if there isn't massive like, rockets going off and bombs going off and machine guns and weaponry and stuff, then they're like, we'll use a surrogate, weaponry. We'll use fireworks. And of course, some of this stuff you can definitely get injured by and hurt by. But it's not far between that and then whipping out the AK-47. We saw that during New Year's. Germany, France, There were people walking around with guns and, you know, firing up in the sky while, like, everyone else is, you know, firing off their fireworks and stuff like that. International mainstream media refused to cover the riots taking place in the no-go zones across France for the last 4 days. It's up to us to get the truth out. Last night, the youth gangs continued to vandalize cities, set cars on fire, and attacking the police. Might be some duplicates here. Let's check this out. Looks like the cops' response is very meagerly to this. It's not really that intense so far, right? Here's some more. Let's check this out. Okay, this is the tail end of what we saw. With Marie Le Pen's video. Was that the video or was that me? No, there's back. Audio's back. Okay.
Monsieur, ça va?
Yeah, I see. Cops are carrying someone in there. They think this is funny, right? This is... It's just a little tension from the lockdown. It's not a problem, guys. They're just the steam valve. They got to release some of the pressure, right? It's lockdown frustration. Right, give them a break. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Shit like this has been going on for 3 nights now. Here's more. Can you ever get some peace and quiet with these people, or is this how it's gonna be now? This is the new normal now. It's like gang rapes, fireworks, and AK-47s, and hand grenades, and bombs, and explosions, and noises, and loud shit, and like in your face, and aggressive. Like this, that's what it is now. This is how it is. This is the new normal in the West now. We're celebrating. Celebrating Ramadan. So, you know, just some fireworks. Shooting on cars. Whoever shows up, including ambulance personnel, you had the same thing in these no-go zones in Sweden, right? Ambulance personnel, fire departments to put out the fires, all that kind of stuff. They're shooting fireworks on first responders and all that kind of stuff, right? And there's largely not major coverage on this in the media. How long is this kind of shit going to go on for? And how long until this is just the perpetual, like, we're seeing flare-ups of it, you know, usually now a couple of times per year or whatever. Then it would be, once every other month, then it will be every month, then it will be every week, then it will be every weekend, then it will be every day, right? Imagine your young white children, French children in this case, European children growing up in these kinds of environments. with these kinds of people, with this constant pressure, being accosted, hated, resented. These people have an idea in their minds about, well, this is payback for colonialism. You guys deserve this, right? That's what we're looking at here. Revenge, hatred. If it's so bad in these countries, well, go back then, right? Okay, somewhat shorter that. See, there was a good thread here. I'm gonna check this out. Go back that. What happened? Yeah, see, someone's running out. The cops don't even go after him. Let him go. This is not the same as like this is not the same as like going to the playground with your kid. Do you see the difference here in like application of for again? I know it's two different countries, two different, but there is an overall attitude of like taking one side versus the other side, or putting actions down versus lifting actions up, right? By generally the Western press, I guess that's the best way to put it. This is not people going to the playground with their kids, right? This is like for the sole purpose of disruption, of hurting, of course, police, of threatening. We own this territory. You get out. This is ours. This is the kind of comment we've heard in Sweden when these kinds of things flare up. The cops show up, ambulance shows up, fire department shows up. Put out fires, help some of these people that are injured. They shoot at them, whether it's fireworks or real weapons, hand grenades, bombs, threats. Get out, this is our place. This is our colony in your country now. Unbelievable. All right, you get the idea. There's a couple of other clips here that I was getting from Enigma on Twitter. He's covered this in a good way. Maybe we'll get him on here soon, too. It's a little bit too short notice today to bring him on, but I believe his English is pretty good, so we could bring him on and see what the situation was initially of what, because I feel that there is some kind of, well, mainstream you can never trust, but there's some kind of misinformation about the issue of how it flared up to begin with, right? But there's always some one excuse that's being used, as you saw in the cases of, like, the Times. He says, well, it's lockdown frustrations. That's what it's nothing else. It's just they're just frustrated. They're just blowing off some steam. Relax, right? Here's a cop narrowly escaping. Short clip. Let's look at that again. They're setting a trap for him, essentially. He goes into this one area. They throw stuff at them to try to get him off the bike, right? They have to speed up and go through. Interesting. Let's check out this here. Live war scenes from France. Oh, this we saw. Okay, we saw this in one of the previous clips. I don't think there's anything new, but yeah, it looks like a war zone, right? Welcome to Brittany. Yeah, the guy in sitting on the Vespa here or whatever it is, he is being brutally assaulted here. If you're sensitive, don't watch this because, you know, some of you might find this disturbing, but there's like 15 on one, as Enigma writes here. Unbearable, 15 against one. Congrats, wankers. You make me sick. Total silence in the medias. In the media, like usual. No audio on this here, but and again, I'm not sure what exactly is going on here. It's clear that this is one of the same affected areas, one of these no-go zones, right? So presumably, it's a person who's of native French origin who's being beaten up, but we don't know. I don't know. There was no news story attached to this, and so rarely it is. We see footage like this all the time come out from some of these areas. But you never get any in-depth coverage. You don't know about the motivations. What was this? Imagine if this was white people, right? That this was white gangs, like the soldiers of Odin, or so, you know, something like that. And they were roaming the streets and beating up people, whether it's randomly or targeted, stuff like that. You would never see the end of it in the media. You'd never see the end of it. This here, they get a pass, you know. And, you know, we don't have to watch the rest, but yeah, he goes unconscious, presumably. I mean, he could be brain dead, he could be dead, this guy, we don't know. Enigmire again says, this is totally irresponsible to leave a lone single police car in this inferno. Let's see if we saw this before. Yeah, okay, restarted there, guys. But yeah, you get the idea. Let me take a couple. We'll watch a couple of more here. I'm going to wrap up here in a little bit, guys. Let me see here. Robo thinks, Silosopher sent a diamond. Spencer the First sent a diamond. Jason is willing to come on stream, make it happen. Yeah, then we're going to wrap up in a little bit. Maybe next for the next one or something. He's always welcome to come on, Jason. Is regarding the censorship. Maybe we should, well, let's do this. Let's do something on it tomorrow. If you're watching, Jason, I'm not sure you are, but I'll reach out to you. And we can get you on and we can do a quick segment about what happened with the censorship and stuff like that. But I'm going to wrap up here just in a little bit. So it might be a little bit too tight. But thank you, Spencer, first. I appreciate that. We saw some subs, one-month subscriptions being handed out to both by Silosopher, Purus777. I appreciate that. A number of you guys received from them. So thank you to both of you. JK160 sends a diamond. Paris looks more like Detroit every day. I think it's worse than Detroit. This rates many areas. JC Stalling sends, hi all. Hello to you. Thank you for tuning in. Sends a diamond. Thank you. JK160 again. He says, I feel terrible for the white families in Paris. Well, absolutely. It's the same thing in London. They're ethnically replacing us, and now we're seeing the full fruits of this coming into fruition. Of what kind of societies these multi-ethnic, multi-religious regions produce. It's stuff like this. And we will always be blamed. No matter what we do, it will never be enough. It's us to blame. It's police brutality. It's, you know, whatever it is. The lockdown, the coronavirus, it's, you know, discrimination, whatever, what have you, right? Spencer the First donates a diamond as lemon drop to keep the stream going. Well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that very much. Let's see if there's a couple of more. There's a number of guys who sent lemons and stuff. I appreciate all you who do that. Thank you so much. Son of Anton sends a diamond, a message. Shroon, another diamond, says pig pile. Well, exactly. That's indeed what it is. Bandit 1 sends a diamond. Stop the world and let me off. Yeah, if only. We'll be totally locked in once Musk's prison grid system is in full swing. Okay, lots of diamonds and some ice cream from you guys. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Save Western Civ donates a Ninja Guinea and he says, really appreciate your work. Well, thank you so much for your help and support. I appreciate it. Save Western Civ. And Scooter Bear sends a diamond. Ramadan hasn't even begun yet. Exactly. We'll see what happens when it picks up here. One of the last ones here we'll show from this, from Enigma. He says, international mainstream media, you need to know clearly what's going on in France. Please RT as much as you can. A religious war is in progress. French TV won't ever show you that kind of footage. Muslim thugs are chasing the cops out of their territories. Short clip. Yeah, listen to that laugh. This is a study, right? Listen to that laugh right there. They think this is funny. It's the same thing with the immigrant gangs that like kidnap Swedish kids and like urinate on them and stuff like that. They're laughing at this. They're having a good time. This is the kind of scenarios that they like. They enjoy this kind of environment, this chaos, this violence, this uncivilized way of doing business. This is funny to these people. They enjoy this. So I was very excited, that guy filming. Very excited. Very excited about that. That's, you know, very good stuff. Very good stuff. One of the last things I'll leave you with here before we actually, for once, I believe, wrap up on time. How about that? Always want to keep, try to keep the streams below 2 hours. Developed West is managing, and it's all kind of related, right? What's happened in France and this, you know, the coronavirus lockdown. It's just producing some frustration among the youths there in France. Nothing else going on there. Nothing to see here, folks. But the headline here from RT, developed West is managing COVID-19 worse than poorer countries, France's most well-known virologist says. The world's experience with COVID-19 has exposed the fact that wealthy nations are not necessarily more prepared than poorer ones to deal with a pandemic, and they are often too active slow, French biologist Didier Raoul said. In a video posted on YouTube, Raoul noted that many of the countries with the highest coronavirus mortality rates are, quote, wealthy countries. This reveals a disconnect between wealth and the ability to respond to situations of this kind. The difference could lie in how rich and poor countries have chosen to deal with the virus, Raoul believed. But the point is, I pulled this in here because, also because many of these, the wealthy countries, or wealthy, whatever they mean by that these days, the in debt, white countries that are in debt that are suffering is from a population replacement program by globalists, are also under the imagine how we could deal with it. We probably would dealt with it like the way that South Korea dealt with it, right? If we were more ethnically homogenous. People that are not, you know, not going along with some of the instructions and stuff like that. And it's a two-edged sword, and I get that. But the point is, like, you know, if Sweden's main immunologist says, like, well, these are some of the recommendations. We're not going to do a heavy-handed lockdown. You guys, you know, take responsibility. Do what you need to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Somali community is not even paying attention to that, right? They're... if they even listen to Swedish authorities or what they say or what the recommendations are, they're living in a parallel society, which is disconnected from the main one, right? So it's all split up and shattered. So, you know, couple their particular situation with their inability to absorb vitamin D and then not practicing, you know, the things that they're recommended or whatever. Yeah, it spreads more among their group and they're, more of them are dying, right? So in many regards, you know, this has been done to us, but we're also kind of, we're not facing up the reality of why the situation is bad in the West in many regards too, right? We've lost something in the West. We've lost our countries. We've lost our way of life. We've lost our ability to organize. And this has been lost in conjunction with how we're losing our ethnic makeup too, right? All right. I guess we can end on this one. Interesting kind of side note. There's a lot of other issues that's happening on the side of coronavirus and stuff like that too, right? Like a lot of the weird effects. Yesterday in one of the streams we showed how some of the Chinese people that are being treated, their skin turned black. They got some medication, there was some hormonal change which caused their skin to turn black. It's kind of strange. Blood clots is one issue that have risen up. A lot of people have this. Let's check out this video here.
We have done extensive reporting here on the virus and its effect on the lungs, but there's growing data that it can also pose a real threat to your heart. We have been following the case of the well-known Broadway actor Nick Cordero, who has been in a coma, the 41-year-old husband and father. Over the weekend, doctors had to amputate his right leg because of blood clot complications. And so ABC's Steve Osensami tonight on the virus and your heart.
Doctors trying to save the lives of patients fighting the coronavirus are seeing more of what happened to Broadway actor Nick Cordero, a blood clot that in his case cost the Tony nominee his right leg. On Saturday, they had to amputate, and he's still in the ICU tonight. His wife explains that it was a complication from COVID-19.
He is struggling. Just every minute counts right now.
Scientists have known from the start that the deadly virus targets the respiratory system. But in outbreaks around the world, they're also seeing a high number of patients with blood clots. Blood clots that reach the heart are the most concerning. These are lung and heart scans of a patient in his 30s from New Orleans who was fighting COVID-19. And this area here is the large blood clot that was threatening to stop his heart.
If we had waited to get the scan or we hadn't gotten it at all, we would not have diagnosed the pulmonary embolism, and we may not have started the blood thinning therapy.
We're also learning that the virus itself can do damage to the muscle layers of the heart. In Spain.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I saw some funny comments on DLive there in chat. I thought he had diabetes. Someone says, and how could that Nick Cardero? I never heard of the guy, right? But it's like amputated his right leg. Is it again one of those like it's always some other issue that's leading you to the situation that you're? It's amplifying the conditions that you do have or something like that. I'm not sure. Some people are like, this is fake, or something. I'm not sure, but. Blood clots in the heart, it seems to have all these weird effects. Someone talked about like people are getting altitude sickness, right? And you guys, did you see that? I'll leave you with this, the last thing we'll cover here. The fact that the hospitals are also making money on this issue, right? That they are being reimbursed. Let's see, continued side. They're being reimbursed for if they put people on ventilators specifically, but even if they admit them as like COVID-19 patients. This is why you've seen some of the other diseases and stuff that people do have are like just kind of pushed to the side and it all becomes about COVID-19. Hospital reimbursements for uninsured COVID-19 cases may total $42 billion. Hospital reimbursement for uninsured COVID-19 hospitalizations will range from nearly 14 to 24 or 42 billion. Accounted for a significant portion of the $100 billion slated for hospitals in the CARES Act. That reimbursement range is based on Medicare reimbursement for hospital admissions for similar conditions, including respiratory infections and inflammations with major comorbidities or complications, which averaged $13,297 in reimbursements. Per patients, right? And in more severe cases, respiratory system diagnosed with ventilator support for greater than 96 hours averaged $40,218. Researchers also estimated that up to 2 million uninsured individuals could require hospitalization for COVID-19. So there's money in this. I mean, Brian Young pulled these out for us yesterday in the show. Unbelievable. All right. CMS released Medicare reimbursement details for COVID-19 tests. The testing, there's money in testing. You need to be tested, 4 or 5 times. Reimbursement for COVID-19 tests will be about $36 for the CDC test and $51 for those created in-house by other entities, right? And they're talking about testing from 5 up to 34 million people every day. There's a lot of money in this. That's the point, right? Brian covered this very, very well. Yesterday with us there. But so check out that show if you missed it. Spencer the First donates a diamond and says, last night's stream didn't show up in replay. Well, it's there. I mean, it's there. I click in. I just go to dlive.tv/redicetv, click on replays, and you see the coronavirus lockdown hysteria right there. Brian Young is in the screenshot. And then you have the end portion that I did is just after that stream. I did a little bit of an extra segment. I just came on with you guys for a little bit afterwards, if that's the one you're looking for, Spencer. Thank you for that, guys. Okay. Good being back with you guys. Always a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed the show. A lot of important things to cover. It's getting nuttier by the day. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RedIceTV if not already, but do make sure that you cannot rely on that. We were recently found out to be on the ADL's gulags list. It was an interesting tweet here. Apparently, the ADL is tracking people's accounts they deem unsavory. It's good to know if your Twitter handle is on here. I had a link to a spreadsheet that you can look at, and we were named in there. Red Ice TV, they want us gone, obviously, because they're the ones who are advocating for us to be gone from YouTube, from PayPal, from Wells Fargo, from Venmo, from the Cash App most recently. There's a lot of people they won't call, obviously. But do make sure that you click in and subscribe to our other channels and stuff that we do have out there, because we might lose you on Twitter, possibly for good, because we're thought criminals. So they don't like the coverage that we do. But again, best way to check out our content, guys, is redicemembers.com. Everything's up there. Everything's archived there. Back to our start, 2006. A lot of shows for you there. Weekend Warrior, exclusive shows, exclusive videos just for members, guys. Thank you for your support today. I'm going to open the DLive box, or chest, as they call it. I think things work a little better right now on DLive 2. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with Mimish Brunner, which is the they've done a new project, whatever you want to call it, called Mimish Council. He's been a previous guest on the show, but they've covered this thing with the coronavirus lockdown and stuff like that too. They did a really good video. We're going to take a look at a couple of samples from that. But we're going to have Mimshun with us to talk about the situation in the UK specifically and kind of their angle, or his angle, I should say, in terms of how they cover that. Well, there's a couple of people associated with the project over there, but in the UK. But yeah, so that's coming up Thursday. I think more or less that's booked in. And then, of course, we have Flashback Friday, as usual, on Friday. Don't miss that. Then we have Weekend Warriors, as always, on Sundays. Lana will be jumping in on one of these here soon, if not the one coming up now. I believe definitely the next one, so she'll be premiering, coming back to the show here with us on Weekend Warriors. Definitely heads up on that. We'll keep you guys posted on that. Vulture Man, number one there on DLive. Thank you so much for your support. Nordic Warrior 14, number two. Rainstorm, number three. Sean Breed, number four. And Star Pilot, number five. They're the top listed there of luckiest followers on DLive. So congrats to you guys. Do appreciate it very much. Stay sane, first of all, of course, but also stay healthy, stay safe. Get outside, buy some seeds, get into becoming more self-sufficient. Now's the time to do it. It's never too late. But yeah, guys, take care. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Until then, adieu. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.